And these are the proverbs we're going to look at on friendship today. Okay, so let's try and read together. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we've been doing a series on the book of Proverbs. We're calling it Wisdom for the Schemes. And each week we are looking at different topics. So the first week we looked at the foundation for wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord. And then the week after we looked at how do we make wise plans in our lives. And last week we looked at the power of our, you know, remember? The power of our words, the words that we use. And that was Big Sam. This week we're looking at the topic of friendship. And what we're going to see today is that the book of Proverbs tells us that the friends that we choose in life are extremely important. They can have a huge impact on the decisions we make, the people we become, and also how we walk with the Lord. You see, friends can either point us to heaven or they can drag us to hell. Friends can make us wise or they can make us foolish. Friends can refresh our souls or they can grind us into the dust. In other words, you will struggle in the Christian life without good, godly, wise, loving friends. Let me say that again. You will struggle in life in general, but particularly in the Christian life, without good, godly, wise, loving friends. They're crucial. That's what the book of Proverbs tells us. So three things today. First one is, why is friendship important? Second thing is, what makes a good friend? What makes a good friend? And three, how can I grow in being a godly friend to others? Okay? So why is friendship important? Let's study the influence of friendship. What makes a good friend? Kind of character of friendship. And then how can I grow in being a good friend? And that's the power of friendship. Okay? You with me? Still awake? Okay, first point. Why is friendship important? Solomon says in Proverbs 13:20, it's the first one we read, walk with the wise and you will become wise. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise. Point is simple. The people that you spend the most time with influence and shape you. The people you spend the most time with influence and shape you. The friends you have an effect on you, a sanctifying effect if they're good friends. They can impact the person that we become. So think about your life just right now. Some of the things that you do, some of your mannerisms, some of the things that you say, some of the things you do, the things that you wear, are often influenced by your friends. Why? Why is that? Why is that? Well, family often shape our morals, don't they? But friends, what do they bring? They bring belonging. Friends bring belonging. Family are always going to be there for us. You don't really have to try with them. They're a given. But friends are about fitting in with others, aren't they? It's about belonging. And friends don't have any loyalty to you if they don't choose it. Family have to be loyal to you. That's what they're there for. Friends have no loyalty to you if they don't choose it. They can ditch you in a way that family can't because you're not born with friends. You're born with your family. You're not born with friends. And so what happens is we then try and fit in, don't we? We try and fit in with the friends around us to try and bring us some belonging. So let me give you some examples just to illustrate it. It's interesting to me, and you probably found this when you were a child, that when one person in the class gets something, suddenly everybody wants it. So at the school at the moment, it's Monty Rex tracksuits. They don't look very different to Nike ones or Adidas ones, but because one person has it, it's a cool thing to have, suddenly everybody wants it. Or think about plushies. You come across these plushies before? They are rubbish little toys that you squeeze. And yet everyone's going crazy for them. One person's got it. Sorry, kids, they're not rubbish. They're good for you guys. You like them. Squeezing them. But suddenly everyone wants it. What if I do this, kids? What's that? How did that become a craze? I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Like 6, 7? Suddenly, everyone's doing it. You see, your friendships have an influence on you, don't they? More significantly, when I was doing research for my book on addictions, it was interesting that I asked a lot of people how their addiction started. And often, the answer that came back was, it was because it was what my friends were doing. My pals were drinking, my pals were taking coke, and so I just joined in with what they were doing as well. What does that tell us? The company you keep is the company you become. If you spend all your time with 5 drug addicts, you'll become number 6. If you spend all your time with 5 gossips, you'll become number 6. If you spend all your time with 5 football hooligans, you'll become number 6. If you spend all your time with fitness freaks, hopefully you become number 6. And so who do you want to surround yourself with? You want to surround yourself with friends that will help us grow in wisdom. But notice, not just surround yourself. Solomon says, walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. What does that mean? It means spending intentional time with friends who are wise. Doing life together, praying together, reading the Bible together, talking about the Lord together. They're the kind of friends you want in your life, the ones that you spend your majority of your time with, ones that are going to point you to Jesus, ones that are going to give you good godly advice when you're down, one that's going to keep you accountable, one that knows the Bible and is walking in step with the Spirit and will help you grow in grace. Solomon writes, iron sharpens iron. Probably heard that term before. That saying, what does it mean? Well, when you sharpen a knife, what do? You get the knife and you get a whetstone, which is a harder metal, and you scrape it against it and it sharpens it. 2 metals sharpen one another, smooths out imperfections, dulls edges. And that's what the best of friends do for us. They make us better people. You want a friend in your life that makes you a wiser person because you spend time with them. You want friends in your life who make you a better man or woman or child in your life. A few years ago, I went to... Right, Logie. Amen. A few years ago, I went to a wedding, and the best man did his speech, and he said something along the lines of this: "You're such a good friend to me, and the reason you're a good friend to me is because you make me a better man." That's cool, isn't it? Don't you want friends in your life like that make you a better person? That their pursuit of Christ pushes you on in your pursuit of Christ? They're the friends you want to spend time with. The ones that help us grow in wisdom. But the opposite is true, isn't it? If you surround yourself with fools. The companion of fools, Solomon says, will suffer harm. Just focus on that word, suffer. Suffer. They bring suffering to our lives. They suffer harm. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. That's a warning to us. You need to watch the people that you spend the most time with. Solomon says, watch out you don't spend time with people who are angry. Why? Because you'll get entangled in all of their arguments and all of their ways. And so the question is, that you need to ask yourself this morning is this: what impact are your friends having on you? What impact are your friends having on you? Are they pointing you to Christ and helping you grow in grace, or are they taking you away from him? Are they helping you grow in wisdom, or are you becoming a fool because they're fools? Now, that's not to say that you can't have friends who aren't Christians. That's not to say that. I have good friends who are believers, and I have good friends who are not believers. I share life with Christians, and I share life with non-Christians. But here's the thing about being friends with Jesus, is that once you're friends with Jesus, it changes how you relate to others. A change has happened in you if you're following Jesus now, and so that changes your relationship with other people. And as Christians, your closest and dearest and nearest friends are always going to be believers. Why? Because they share that what is most important to you. Your friendship runs deeper than football, which is what a lot of friends go around, connect around, or your schooling, or the community you were brought up in. Our friendship goes deeper because it's bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is your all in all, then your closest advisors and your greatest influences will naturally be those who are walking with Jesus, because they share your greatest treasure, which is Jesus Christ. Now let me just stop here just for a second and give a key point of application. That kind of friendship takes time and effort, doesn't it? That kind of friendship takes time and effort. There are so many pressures in life, aren't there? We have family to look after, some of us. We have work to get to. We have church responsibilities. And usually when we're focusing on those things, do you know what friendship gets dropped? It's friendship. Friendship gets dropped in the middle of it. But growing friendships is key to thriving in life, and especially the Christian life. And so friendship is something that you have to put an effort into. Think about Proverbs 18:24. It says, a friend sticks closer than a brother. How can a friend be closer than a brother? Well, here's the reason. A family member, if they're a good family member, will be there for you because they're loyal, and that's what family does. But a friend is someone who's chosen you. It's that old saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Family is important, but friends choose you and you choose them, and they can help you grow in wisdom. Therefore, it takes effort. It takes time. You've got to put it into your week. In the 1950s, researchers began to be baffled by an American town called Rosetto, where life expectancy was much greater than the rest of America. Signs of heart disease were non-existent amongst the young people, and even amongst the elderly, heart disease was very, very low. So, of course, the researchers went in to see what's the secret of the town. Did they live longer because the water was better? No. Was it because they didn't drink? No, they drank. Was it because they were fitness fanatics? Nope. None of them went to the gym. Was it because they didn't smoke? Nope, they smoked like chimneys. Did they eat healthy? Nope, they put lard in their food and had deep fat fried food all the time. It was nothing to do with salads, and it was nothing to do with protein shakes. Do you know why they lived longer? Because they found that there was deep friendship and community in that little town. Life was shared together. And Debbie's brother, my brother-in-law, in his book on friendship concludes this: it's better to eat a kebab with your friends than salad by yourself. It's better to go out and have a kebab with your pals, doesn't matter how unhealthy it is, than eat a salad by yourself. Because friendship is so vital and so powerful and so important in our lives. So that's the power of friendship, or why friendship is important. Let's get up. Stand up for a sec. Turn around, without getting dizzy, if you're able, you sit down again. Hopefully you're awake still. So, what makes a good friend? What makes a good friend? Character. Okay, a couple of things that the book of Proverbs speaks to. Here's the kind of friends you want to choose in life, or the kind of friends you want to be. A good friend speaks the truth and love to you. A good friend speaks the truth and love. Proverbs 27, verse 5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse, that means many, are the kisses of an enemy. And this is an interesting verse because in our culture, we tend to think of friends being nice to us. Someone who doesn't criticize us. Someone who is loyal to us and has our back no matter what. But Solomon says here, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Why? He's saying that a faithful friend loves you enough and knows you well enough to challenge you on your business enough. A friend, a true friend, is someone who knows you enough and loves you enough to challenge you on your business and your sin issues. Good friends know you, are willing to tell you the hard things, and still be your friend. That's a true friend. Now, they don't have to do it, speak to you harshly. It doesn't mean they speak harshly to you. It doesn't mean that they're hypocritical of you constantly. It doesn't mean that they're angry with you. But they gently and firmly challenge you when you are walking a sinful path. The New Testament says a true friend speaks the truth in love. I remember when I was really struggling with someone in the church a few years back. This is years ago. It's like a decade ago. So don't worry if it's not you. They'd hurt me, and I was really angry with them. And when I'm angry with someone, I don't hide it very well, because I go all passive-aggressive and silent. But Mez at the time noticed it, and he said to me, can I speak to you about something? Let's get a coffee. He said to me, do you realize that you're holding unforgiveness towards this certain person? You need to forgive them in the gospel, and you need to love them. Now, that was hard to hear. It's hard to hear, but he was right. That's the kind of friend you need in your life. He's going to sit with you and say, look, I see this in your life. Do you see this? Do you see this? I'm not saying this because I'm being harsh to you. I'm saying this because I love you, and I want you to grow in grace. They're the kind of friends we need. Here's the thing. Don't push those away who speak uncomfortable truths to you. Don't push those people away who speak uncomfortable truths. Instead, keep them close at hand. And then bring people into your life close enough that they know you and they can challenge you on your stuff. That takes vulnerability though, doesn't it? It takes vulnerability, takes trust, takes time, takes effort. That's the kind of friend you want. Another thing you want in terms of good character is you want a fellow soldier, don't you? You want a fellow soldier with you in the trenches. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You see, being a Christian is a call to war. Not physical war, but spiritual war. Jesus becomes our captain, and we become his soldiers. And so what do we need in the trenches? We need friends who will spur us on, who have our backs, who are willing to go over the trenches with us, but also will bind up our wounds. See, when you're in the trenches in a war, you don't want someone who's going to run off when hard things happen, do you? You want someone who's going to fight with you and fight alongside you and fight beside you in the Christian walk. A friend, a true friend, is someone who loves you through thick and thin. They love in the good times. They love in the bad times. They love in the difficult times. And that's actually how you find out if you've really got a friend in life, isn't it? If they're with you when you're struggling and you have nothing to give. See, often friendship is about what I can get from people, But a true friend is about how you can serve someone. Friendship is not about what you can get from someone. Friendship is about what you can give to someone. Too many people view friendship as they view church, as consumers. Gimme, 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 gimme. That's what friendship's about. That's what church is about. But that's not what it's about, is it? Church is a place where we can come and serve together alongside each other. And friendship is where we serve together alongside one another, our great Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. If you view friendship as what you can get from a relationship, you become narcissistic. You become inward-looking, self-pitying. It's all about you. When friendship is about service of those around us. Let me be clear here. Friends are not there to complete us. They are not primarily there to meet our loneliness. They are there for us to serve and support in the struggles of life. One writer I read this week said, many struggle in friendship because they're constantly asking this question, who will love me? Who's going to love me? In other words, they turn friendship into their own needs being met. You go to church and like, who's going to talk to me? Who's going to be friends with me? Who's going to love me? Who will move towards me? But this writer said, stop asking that question, who will love me, and start asking this question, who can I love? Who can I love? Friendship starts and stops by loving others above ourselves in the strength that Jesus gives. It's about serving others because we love them, not because they give something to us in return. As Debbie was saying to me this week, to be a friend, you've got to be a friend. To make a friend, sorry, you've got to be a friend. To make a friend, you've got to be a friend to others. Maybe a question you need to ask yourself this morning is this. Do you struggle with friendship because actually you are unwilling to pay the price of service to others? Maybe you struggle in friendship because you make life all about you. Your wants, your needs, your desires, your loneliness, instead of how I can serve others. When do you need friends the most? You need friends the most when you're in the trenches, when you're struggling, when you're battling, when you're down. Tim Keller says, a friend is someone that when the chips are down, they say, call me if you need anything. They're not there to get something from you, they're there to serve you. They're not using you, but they love you. That's why I think being a fellow soldier is a helpful image for friendship. Because friendship is not about what you can get from someone. It's about being on mission together with a goal of glorifying Jesus Christ and getting to heaven together. True Christian friendship means you and I, in this church, we're on mission together to glorify God, to preach the gospel, to plant churches. So think of the Christian life as a war. And your brothers and sisters, your friends are there as your soldiers, your comrades in arms. And you're serving together. There can be no sweeter or closer bond than soldiers going into battle, having each other's backs with the same mission in mind. And that's what Christians have. We are soldiers in Christ who fight the good fight and spur each other towards the finish line, heaven. Question is, what's your aim in life? If it's to give your life in honoring Jesus, then fill your life with friends who are on the same mission. And you'll have great friends, deep friends, loving friends, wise friends, friends who are there for you in the struggles. And that's key. Friends are not competition, are they? They're comrades, soldiers. Let me challenge the ladies just for a second. I know this is not just a ladies' problem, but it can be particularly a lady problem. The ladies in this church are not your competition. They're your fellow soldiers, fellow comrades in arms. It's easy, isn't it, to compare with each other. It's easy to get jealous of each other. It's easy to envy. But that's a losing game that brings disharmony to the church and disunity. Instead, see each other as soldiers. Comrades are seeking to glorify Christ and encourage one another to the final day. When you remember that, you have good friends and it'll keep you united. Finally, a good friend is someone who knows you. Proverbs 25:20. We didn't actually read this proverb, but it's an interesting proverb. Proverbs 25:20 says, "Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, and like vinegar on soda." That's a tricky proverb, but what it's basically saying is, when you're down in the dumps, the last thing you want is a person to come along and say, "Why does it always rain on me? Is it because I lied when I was 17? You don't want someone to sing that song to you, do you, when you're feeling down in the dumps? Neither do you want them to sing a happy song to you. When you're down in the dumps, what do you want a friend to do? Just listen. Come alongside you. To speak to you. That's what friends do. Friends know us well, and they know when to encourage us and when to challenge us. They know when to pick us up. They know when to kick us up the backside. Friends know us. They care for us. So what do you need? You need a friend in life who knows you well enough to challenge you, to encourage you, and to understand whether you need a punch or you need a hug. That takes intimate knowledge. That takes vulnerability. That takes getting to know each other, doesn't it? It means laying our struggles and our weaknesses on the table. It means sharing our hearts with other people. It means spending time with friends. Here's the problem, and here's a man problem now, particularly men. Here's the problem. We tend as men towards isolation, don't we? We tend towards isolation. Often, we isolate ourselves from each other when we're struggling. Many men struggle to open up with each other. That can be in the scheme. That's just across Scotland, across the UK. That's one of the reasons we started the Man's Club on a Tuesday night. A safe space for men to come along, spend time with each other, share their burdens, do a bit of fitness, and have a laugh together. Why? Because there's no longer those safe spaces anymore. You're told in the scheme, get on with it. You're a man, sort yourself out. You don't need friends. Grow some. That's what you're taught. But the Bible says, no, you need friends. You need people alongside you who will walk with you in the struggles and battles, and friends that you can be vulnerable with. And so men, we need to start talking. We need to talk with each other. We need to spend time with each other. When you get to the men's Bible studies, to these Tuesday night meetings where we can, to be there on Sundays, to text each other outside of church so that we know what each other's struggles are and battles are. You know, I went through a six-month period between September and February where I had man after man from the scheme come to me and say, "I'm struggling. I've got no one to speak to. I've got addiction problems. I've got mental health problems. And I've got no one to talk to." That's why we started the Man's Club. We need to talk, don't we? We need friends. It's so crucial in life. Ladies do this better. They get together. They have a coffee. Not always, but they do in general get in contact with each other. Men isolate. Don't do it. If you're struggling, text someone. If you're doing something funny, message someone. Encourage them. If you've got a good Bible verse, encourage them with the Bible verse. Let them know that you'll be encouraged by something, because that will encourage that friendship and we'll grow in grace together. A guy called Bonhoeffer says this: "The Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged. The Christ in his own heart is weaker than the Christ in the word of his brother. His own heart is uncertain, his brother's is sure." What's he saying there? He's saying often we know the word, don't we? But it's weak in our own heart. We forget it. And so what do we need? We need another brother to come alongside us, share that same word with us with conviction. And it encourages us to keep on going. You know, often we need that person in life to just speak that word of encouragement to us, don't we? Often when I'm struggling, I'll go down to Preston Pans to go and see Benny. And he always asks me the same questions. He asks me, "Are you encouraged?" And when I feel down on something, I can be quite pessimistic about things. But he always says this to me: "Don't be downhearted. Look at all the Lord's doing in the church. He's really using you. He's at work. Keep going." Just a few sentences is all it takes. But the Christ in him is more encouraging than the Christ that's in my heart. I feel weak going down to the yard, but I go out strong because he's encouraged me with the words. That's what we need, don't we, for each other? That's what we need to be for each other. When a friend is struggling and they can't see the way out, be the word of Christ to them and help them see the way out. When we're struggling, we need those friends who will speak the sure and steadfast word of God to us. Friendship can be so sweet, can't it? It's like oil and perfume that make the heart glad, is what Solomon says. Like a sunny day with good food or the smell of perfume to the nose, so is the sweetness of friendship. Our lives are richer with good friends, aren't they? A good friend makes you laugh when you're down. A good friend listens to you when you are burdened. A good friend listens when you're suffering and struggling and encourages you. A good friend gladdens the heart. So how can I grow in being a godly friend? What's the power for friendship? Are we still awake as we end? We're at the end. Oh, I won't make you stand up. I think you're awake still. What's the power for friendship? How can we be a godly friend? Simple answer is we need to walk closely with Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. See, Jesus Christ is a friend of friends, and knowing him transforms us and changes us to be godly friends. You know, as I talk about friendship today, I'm sure if you thought about friends in your life and your experience of friendship, there'll be all sorts of different reactions. Maybe today you feel, I'm a bad friend. I don't really keep in contact with people. I constantly let my friends down. Maybe this morning when I mention friendship, you feel, I don't have any friends. Maybe when I talk about friendship, you think about the friends that you've loved and lost. Maybe when I talk about friendship, all that comes to mind is those that have abandoned you, that Judas'd you, that ghosted you. Maybe when I talk about friendship, you're like, I've had my pals from school, but they've been a bad influence on me. I've got no one else. And that's why many of us here love Jesus. Why? Because he's the friend of sinners who, unlike us, does not let us down. And he's a true friend who is always with us in the every season of life. And he's the friend of sinners to come alongside us when we fail at being good friends to others. Jesus said this, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. A true friend is someone who will lay down their life for you. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. And so he is the best of friends, the greatest of friends. And he didn't lay down his life for you when you were a good friend. He laid down his life for you when you were his enemy. And yet he died for you and rose again. And it's through Jesus Christ that we come to know God and that we walk with him. And he helps us by changing our hearts to be friends that are not selfish and self-centered, but friends that are selfless and that love others. And he becomes our friend, and he never lets us down. See, Jesus Christ is not like the friend who Judas'd you. He never turns his back on us. He's a friend who knows your struggles and loves you nonetheless. He's the friend who was abandoned by his disciples, but he never abandons us. He is the friend who went to the grave and he rose again. Jesus is the friend of sinners who is alive and will never, ever die. And when we know his love, his great love for us, it frees us to be good friends with others. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, I chose you. I chose you to be my disciples, to be my friends. And then he chooses us for one another in the local church, to love one another, to care for each other, to support each other. So as we end, know Jesus' friendship closely and go and be a good friend to others. Amen?
Amen. Amen.